Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
Yes.
The 8 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We're streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com, on your computer, on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio app, Radio.com app, however you listen. We appreciate your patronage here tonight. And if you'd like to get in via the phone lines, 305 or 954-567-0560, or on the plumbers911.com text line. But please don't text and drive at 56022. Earlier tonight, we talked some Heat basketball with Ira Winderman, talked some Canes football with Peter Ruiz. Both those interviews are already available at WQAM.com if you want to check them out and share them. We would appreciate that as well. We'll hear from Ira and Peter again later on tonight. We'll take your phone calls in the meantime, though. Let's talk to our buddy Nithin in New Jersey. What's up, Nithin?
Hey, what's up, Dono? How you been?
Not much, man. How you been? I can't remember. Man, is this the first time I've spoken to you since returning from my long trip?
How was your trip?
Dude, it was incredible. It was incredible. Like,
I saw your Instagram post, man. You kept posting a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I thought, like, is there a lot of people out there who, and I never thought I would, a lot of people out there who will maybe never want to or never have the chance to go over to Japan. I probably would have never gone there if not for the fact that my wife has wanted to go there her entire life. So she was pretty insistent, but I'm happy that.
Oh, yeah,
man. It lived up to the hype for her, and it lived up to the hype for me, because she convinced me about 2 years ago that we've got to find a way to save money and take this trip. And I don't regret it for a second, man. Some of the loveliest, nicest people in the world. Like, it's a new standard for politeness, what they have going on over there. Beautiful country with a lot of sights to see and delicious food.
All right. Oh, that's good. Yeah, so I got a couple things. How about the trade deadline, huh, for baseball?
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm a Yankee fan. I'm excited. We got Sonny Gray for 3 years now. We have one of the best bullpens in the league, and now we just added an ace pitcher. I think everybody says mute the people that say he's not an ace. Sonny Gray is an ace. He can pitch. His numbers, he's been pitching well lately. So by adding him with Severino and CC struggling today, we're losing 4-0 right now. But other than that, I think we have a good team, and I'm not worried. Because now with Sonny Gray, Severino, you guys, we have the top two pitchers in the league right now. So, and Sonny Gray is making his debut on Thursday, so I can't wait for that. And I'm just excited, and I just want to see what happens. And then to the football side, I can't wait. The Cowboys play on Thursday for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot that they. And you know what? Not only did I forget the Cowboys were in the Hall of Fame game, I can't believe it's already coming up in a couple of days. It's crazy.
Yeah. I can't wait. So I'm excited for that. They need to, first of all, as a Cowboys fan, I'm getting upset because
I think the words you're looking for are they need to keep their guys from getting arrested and suspended. Are those?
They have to make a choice on Zeke. I don't know what they're going to do because they're taking a long time. And we need Zeke, so we need to know if we're going to have Zeke or not for the first game or not. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But I'm excited for Jalen Smith, man. He's been good during camp. Do you think he can come back for the first? Do you think he can be ready for the first game against the Giants?
Oh, you see, I think so.
He looks good. I mean, look at the speed he has. His speed, he's already tackling people, which is all amazing. Coming off from the injury.
Yeah, I'll have to look at. And if he's going to be ready for that first game, because I hadn't done a whole lot of advanced research on that, my friend.
Oh man, I can't. This is an exciting time of year for sports, man. I can't wait. But so man, that was good. Sorry, man.
I'd appreciate you. And as far as you know, the trade deadline goes. I know Yankee fans are happy. They got Sonny Gray, Yu Darvish going to the Dodgers. I'm just happy the Marlins didn't trade like every piece that was worth trading. I'm glad they stood pat because, you know, whoever the next owner becomes, I don't want them to be saddled with a roster that has been completely depleted by Jeffrey Loria's selfishness. So that was my big takeaway coming out of the trade deadline, man. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. And speaking of moves and trades, I'm glad Inter Milan is not losing Ivan Perisic from that midfield. I was going to say a bad word. I will say, screw you, Manchester United. You tried to get our guy. You failed, Jose Mourinho. You tried to screw us after you led us to prominence many years ago. We'll have a soccer segment coming up in about 15 minutes because there is an update on the latest progress in MLS to Miami. Tomorrow could be a very crucial day. The MLS commissioner used a phrase that they are at the finish line with MLS to Miami, which I thought that those were maybe irresponsible words for him to use because he came out and said, well, we're at the finish line, but we're not past the finish line. I'm sorry. I hear you say we're at the finish line. That makes me feel like you're saying it's done. Very creative the way he used those words. We're at the finish line, but we're not past the finish line yet. But there could be a very crucial vote happening tomorrow for MLS to Miami. Of course, the MLS All-Star Game is coming up in Chicago. So if you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell phone, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. First day of Miami Hurricanes practice in the books today. Fall camp at Green Tree Practice Field. You know, in case you were wondering how the reps were split at quarterback today, Nakosi Perry was taking third team reps, not first team, not second team, third team. But I'm here to tell you that that means very little today. Very little, because you were very misguided or delusional if you thought he was just going to come in day one taking first team snaps. He's going to be worked into it. Going to be worked into it. And, you know, the day that he had today, by all accounts, because remember, the media got a chance to watch very little of it. So much of what we have to go by is what was said by Mark Richt, the head coach, and by, you know, other teammates of all these quarterbacks, Nakosi Perry to Malik Rozier, Evan Sheriffs. I know got a couple of other guys like Cade Weldon and Vincent Testaverde Jr., who are not considered to be real contenders for that job at this time. The big three is are the sophomore Evan Sheriffs, the junior Malik Rozier, and the true freshman Nakosi Perry. But you can't read into the way the snaps are distributed day one of fall camp, because no matter how good Nakosi Perry might have looked today, he wasn't going to come in right out of high school because he wasn't around for spring practice. He's not coming in right out of Ocala Vanguard and taking first team snaps day one. It just wouldn't make sense. And like Peter Ruiz said, Canes fans knew not to expect that to happen day one. So what did happen day one was, you know, the two leaders in the clubhouse back in spring football, the co-number ones, were Evan Sheriffs and Malik Rozier. They were splitting the first team and the second team snaps. And then Nakosi Perry and Cade Weldon, another true freshman, the son of Casey Weldon, they were sharing the third and fourth team snaps. So you didn't have starting looks for Nakosi Perry today. What did you see from Nakosi Perry? Mark Richt paid him what I thought was a pretty good compliment, saying that he is a passer, not a thrower, that he can see the instincts with that guy, that Nakosi Perry knows how to actually put touch on a football where a lot of guys, especially a lot of true freshmen, may have not developed that sense yet, that he can see the touch that Nakosi Perry puts on his throws, and he sees the football instincts. And, you know, Braxton Berrios, senior wide receiver, said Perry had a good day, made a couple of first-day freshman mistakes, but that's to be expected. And I think Chris Herndon, the tight end, gave us a better idea of what some of those first-day mistakes were. Apparently, there were several fumbles from Nakosi Perry, fumbled snaps. So that just might be him having to get past those first-day jitters, settle down a little bit. So this is something I talked about in the 6 o'clock segment. I can't imagine what it would feel like to be Nakosi Perry right now. All the hype you have for your arrival. And if Brad Kaya had come back for one more year, you wouldn't have this same sort of hype. Not for day one, right? Like, you could still look at N'Kosi Perry as, okay, we've got our quarterback of the future, but that future is going to be 2 years down the road. But with Brad Kaya leaving early, you have set the stage for N'Kosi Perry being given an equal chance to the other two guys to win that starting job. And the hype that comes with that, given this is the guy that most Canes fans want, this is the guy that most Canes fans are most excited for, because the high school film for him and the athletic ability really jumps off the page. And he's 6'4". He's got good height, but he's still, you know, growing into his frame size-wise. I think he's going to put on a few more pounds of muscle before this is all said and done. Hopefully maybe 10, 15 more pounds of muscle before this is all said and done. But this is the contender that most Canes fans are putting their hope and faith behind. And N'Kosi Perry is aware of that. Like, he knows. He knows. He sees the comments on social media. If he Googles himself, he sees what Canes fans are saying about him. And I can imagine that creates a lot of pressure. Your first day, your first week in fall camp, that he probably wants to go out there and be Superman. And even if he doesn't want to do that for the fans, he wants to do that for himself because he's a competitor. Even if you take the fans out of the equation, this young man got to where he is today by competing like a madman for the first 18 years of his life. And maybe over the next couple of days, he's going to learn to settle down and be a little bit more patient and maybe not fumble as many snaps. But you know, aside from that, all accounts are that he looked pretty good today. And so I think the big question is, over the next few days, you find out if he gets any first team reps through the first week, right? Because Mark Richt has hinted that he would like to figure out his starter by the second scrimmage, which would probably happen about 2 weeks into fall camp. So let's say 2 weeks from today, for argument's sake, he would like to know who the starting quarterback is going to be. It means this process is going to move pretty quickly, pretty quickly. So no starting reps for Perry day one as expected. But when do the starting reps come? Day three, day four, week two? Like, when does he actually start getting some time with the first teamers? I think that's going to be a big tell as to how this is going. Because if you get into the second week and he's still a third teamer and he's not getting first team reps by, you know, next Monday, Tuesday, then you might start to say, well, maybe he's just a little bit behind. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? If he is a little bit behind and, you know, he's not ready to start September 2nd against Bethune-Cookman, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's a lot to ask for a true freshman. A lot of teams aren't in the position where they need to potentially start a true freshman quarterback. If he is a little bit behind, nothing wrong with that. But I think you're gonna have an idea early next week if he's still not getting any first team reps, if he's a real contender to start at Bethune or home against Bethune-Cookman week one of the regular season, which is just over a month away. And I'm so pumped, man. It's August 1st right now. How is it already August? The older I get, the faster time goes. Like, I'm going to blink and I'm going to be 45. Like, it's going by way too quickly. But August 1st right now, September 2nd is when the Canes play their opening game of the season. And you know, we'll have an idea, I think, within the next 2 weeks whether N'Kosi Perry is going to be that guy. As far as the mental game, because, you know, Richt was asked today how, I think it was Susan Miller-Degnan who asked Mark Richt, you know, how is Perry grasping the playbook? How is he grasping, you know, sort of the procedures of practice, the academic stuff? And Rick says, yeah, he's about 50% right now, which is good for a guy playing day one right after high school. Like, it's good to be 50%. And so we'll see if that number grows, if it's 60, 70 by the end of the week. I keep waiting for Mark Richt to lose it in one of these interviews and just scream, of course I'm starting Perry. Can't you guys read between the lines, a texter writes? You know, I've always been of the mind, and as a media member or a fan, I hate not knowing, right? I hate not knowing anything strategy-wise. I hate not knowing who's going to start at what position, what the depth chart looks like, because I seek information, not only as a fan, but it's part of my job to seek information, to seek clarity. But if I'm going to put my head into Mark Richt's brain, or put his brain into my head, maybe.
Which, see, that will never happen because you're nowhere near as close and smart as him.
Oh, see, now you're kissing up to him, but you're tearing me down at the process.
He wears hats better than you.
Who do you work with, him or me? He wears hats better than me? Well, because I'm balder than him. That's the only thing I'm beating him in, baldness. He's losing some hair, but he's 55. Oh,
looks very good for 55.
If I could have held on to that much hair until 55.
You probably wouldn't be married.
I'd still be single. I'd be getting laid by strange women left
single,
and right.
Ready to mingle.
It's probably better off that I am bald. I settled down.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm no longer out to stud. I settled down. As soon as I saw the hair was falling out, I had to find a bride. Like that was the day. Oh man. But no, you know, just to try to walk in Mark Richt's shoes for a second, it would at least, you would think it would give a coach a tactical advantage to wait as long as possible to reveal his starting quarterback. Like you've got that trick up your sleeve now. And okay, it probably doesn't really matter what Bethune-Cookman knows, because you're going to kick their asses, whether it's Vincent Testaverde starting or Nikosi Perry starting. But, you know, to let your opponents think about it as long as possible, who's their starting quarterback going to be week one? I mean, this would work a little bit better if you were playing Florida State in the first week, but I think it is kind of an advantage to milk this. Because, like, I keep saying that Coach Richt says he would like to know who his starter is by the second scrimmage, which is probably about 2 weeks from now. But that doesn't mean we have to know, is the thing. Like, him knowing and us knowing, two very different things. You know, and so we're going to have to read between the lines who's taking the reps in practice. But if you still have guys splitting reps for a while and the media can only watch so much, Mark Richt may decide who the guy is, and it takes days or even weeks before the information goes public. Let's talk to Tracy in Miami. What's up, Tracy?
Hey, nothing much, Dono. How you doing, bud?
Good, man. How about you?
Good, good. You know, Dono, this, you know, I know Nikosi Perry is a second coming to a lot of UM fans. I go on and I read on chat boards and different things about
their confidence. Yeah, it's crazy, but you know what's funny? Like, you always have to be cautious with this stuff, because I remember back in the days of when Robert Marv was a freshman, seeing the way that they talked about him on chat. So I want to be cautious here, right? Because I saw the way we hyped up Robert Marv in like 07, 08 on the chat rooms. I hope that Nikosi Perry is not the next Robert Marv.
No, exactly. And not only that, I wish the best for the guy. But the situation is, I never forgot, man, I was working. And I never forgot when they said we had a quarterback, a Taylor Cook guy, right? During Randy's tenure. Taylor Cook, something happened to him. Cannon Smith, the FedEx guy's son.
Yes, I remember him too.
And all of the hell broke loose with the quarterback situation. And I remember, God bless his soul, Kirby Freeman with his UM tattoo going like 1-for-30 against
North Carolina State. I remember it well. You know what's funny, Tracy, just to interject a quick story here.
Of course.
I wasn't watching that NC State game. I think it was 07. I wasn't watching it live. I was like on vacation somewhere, and I kept checking, like, and this was 07, so like the cell phone app sucked. Like, I had a BlackBerry with internet connection, but I'm like refreshing ESPN.com. And back then, in those days of cell phones, you never know what you were getting. But I kept refreshing this box score page, and it kept telling me that Kirby Freeman he's 1-for-3. Now he's like 0-for-3. Now he's 0-for-7. Now he's 1-for-15. And I thought there was something wrong with my BlackBerry. Then I get home and I go on the computer and I see the numbers didn't lie. And I ended up watching the game, just torturing myself later on. But that was dreadful.
No, you know, and I say all that to say this. Jack Allison transferred. Malik Rozier went. Now, it was a basketball school. It was Duke. But that time, Duke was ranked and playing good. Mm-hmm. And we just came off of the worst loss in UM history. And this guy went 20-for-29. And nobody talks about this. It's like he's an afterthought. Listen, Donald, I'm not saying that the guy is the second coming of Gino Toretta or Vinny Testaverde, but I think he could have transferred. He could have transferred like Jack Allison, and nobody. I think the guy gets zero respect from UM fans. And the funny thing that may happen is this: if that guy starts the season and they end up somehow beating FSU and are 3-0. What do UM fans want to do? Again, we're not there yet, Donald.
Whoever beats FSU is the guy that you stick with. I mean, to answer the question.
UM fans? No.
I don't know, man. I mean, listen, let me paint your scenario. As much as we all love the idea of what Nikosi Perry can be, if Malik Rozier starts the season and then he beats Florida State, the argument for this year is done. Like, we don't think about it again until next year.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying, man. It's, you know, because the situation is this. These kids transfer, and when they transfer, the fans get on them, oh, scared of competition, XYZ. then the kid stays and he gets no respect. Everybody wants him to be the water boy.
I see what you're saying.
So the kid can't win. And that's all I'm saying. Listen, yeah. I want the best quarterback for UM, and I think it is the Cozy Perry. But for people just to talk, and you know, and why I'm talking about Malik Rozier more than I'm talking about Evan Scherz or Vinny Testaverde's kid is because this guy stayed all this time. He played against Duke.
Right.
What, you know, he had a decent game against Duke, made some nice passes, and we're just making it seem like this guy couldn't even start at Nova Southeastern. You know, that's all I got to say, man. Let's just see how it plays out and give it. You know, we want the Cozy Perry, but don't crap on this other.
Right.
Don't crap on Rozier. Let's see how it plays out, man.
Right. Well, if I appreciate the call. If nothing else, like I don't feel like people are crapping on Malik Rozier. He's just, he doesn't get mentioned a lot because of the Perry hype. Like the Perry hype just takes away something from the other guys. In fact, like I have found. Like I appreciate and I understand what Tracy is saying. Maybe every Malik Rozier fan just happens to listen to my show because every time over the last year, every time I brought up Malik Rozier and I don't give him what you guys would perceive as enough respect, I hear about it on the text line from numerous people, a lot of Malik Rozier fans out there, at least the ones who listen to my show. I have the highest per capita concentration of Malik Rozier fans of any radio show in the country, in the world. They all listen to me. It's like that time a couple of years ago when I threw shade at Bethune-Cookman's football program and I had every Bethune-Cookman alum calling me, yelling at me. Like I have this weird thing. Like I'm like an ointment that I attract Malik Rozier fans and Bethune-Cookman alumni. It's a weird talent that I have. But I've had several people, and Tracy is another piece of evidence of that, that if I'm not giving Malik Rozier his due and his credit and giving him his equal time in the conversation, somebody will remind me, this is the guy with the most experience. This is the guy who backed up Brad Kaya for 2 years, consistently taking second team reps at times splitting some first team reps, and he's actually started and won a game. Evan Sheriffs has not done that in college. Nikosi Perry has not done that in college. Malik Rozier is the only guy on that roster at quarterback who has actually started and won a game at the collegiate level.
But Alex, this is why Mark Richt is the head coach. Like, we as fans, we wanted him to be the coach. He's not the coach. We have to trust him that he's going to get the process.
Yeah.
He's going to put the best player available at that position, and let's see if we could win.
And that's the key. Like, when that
this is not the golden era anymore, guys. Let's relax a little bit.
Thank God it's not. But whenever and whoever gets announced as the starting quarterback, trust the process. Like, don't complain at that point. For as much as I like and I champion the cause, like I am a bannerman to Nikosi Perry, if I'm going to keep the Game of Thrones references, I ride as his bannerman, as his liege. I champion the cause of Nikosi Perry. But in 2-3 weeks, if Mark Richt comes out and says Malik Rozier is my guy or Evan Sheriffs is my guy, that's it. I go with it. I trust the process. I trust Mark Richt. And if he names one of the more experienced guys as his starting quarterback, I'm going to assume he did that because Nikosi Perry is not ready and he is doing the best thing for our football team. That's the end of it. That's why I disagree with what Tracy brought up that, hey, would people give Malik Rozier credit if he is the starter and he beats Florida State? Well, no, whoever beats Florida State, that becomes our hero. Like, you stick with that guy at least throughout the end of the year. I want to talk right now about a place I love almost as much as the U, maybe equal with the U. I love me the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill, the Quarterdeck Restaurants. Why do I love the Quarterdeck so much? It's a great place to watch a game. Oh, and with football season coming back, my friends, you got those high-def flat-screen TVs covering every wall. No matter where you turn your head at the Quarterdeck, you're watching some great action. There's always sports on the TVs. The Quarterdeck is a great spot to watch games, great spot to watch every UFC pay-per-view fight. They got every UFC pay-per-view fight for zero cover charge. You pay nothing at the door. And they will have, at three locations for the Quarterdeck, Davie, Plantation, and Fort Lauderdale, they will have Mayweather versus McGregor August 26th. You can watch it at those Quarterdeck locations, and it's going to be a great time that night. Enjoy the drinks. 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. That never ends at the Quarterdeck. 2-for-1 happy hour, and they don't water down the happy hour drinks. I dislike strongly when other bars water down the drinks. It's never a factor at the Quarterdeck. They always bring it strong. And the Quarterdeck is more than a bar. It's more than a sports bar. The food there is delicious. You know I love fresh seafood. Sushi, Maine lobster, oysters. Oh, they've got so many options at the Quarterdeck restaurants. The clam chowder is great. If you enjoy that soup before your meal. Soup is not a meal, said Kenny Band. You know, Jerry Seinfeld said that. But soup can sometimes be a meal, and they have great soup at the Quarterdeck. The entrees are fantastic. Meat falls off the bone, baby back ribs. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich with the fresh mozzarella cheese. I love to build my own burger with tons of fresh toppings. But I also love, and I advocate, saving room for dessert. Because the key lime cheesecake at the Quarterdeck, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And you can wash down that key lime cheesecake with the 2-for-1 happy hour. If you're getting hungry, and you should be, you want to find your Quarterdeck location at quarterdeckrestaurants.com. The Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. That is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
The world's game plays here. Every night, it's time for your nightly football fix on the Alex Dono Show.
Yeah, tomorrow could be a really, really important day, a banner day in finding out whether Miami's going to get an MLS team. I'm not going to say tomorrow's the final hurdle because you still have this looming Matheson lawsuit that could make things difficult, but I got some comments here from the MLS commissioner, Don Garber. This is courtesy of ESPN FC, and I posted a piece about this at WQAM.com today. You want to check it out. But, you know, Beckham is in Chicago for the MLS All-Star Game. And according to ESPN, a vote to grant the city of Miami their expansion franchise could take place tomorrow, Wednesday. MLS Commissioner Don Garber says, quote, "We're at the finish line. We're not over the finish line yet, though." Like, that to me right away. I think he caught himself, right? Because when you say we're at the finish line, you're saying, oh, it's done. We're there. We got it. No, we're not over the finish line. We're at the finish line. We're not over the finish line. Semantics. But he says, "We've been working hard for a really long time. We feel like we've got everything where we need it to be." Now, one of the things from the other MLS owners, the Board of Governors, that I think bugs these guys a little bit about the Miami project is David Beckham is being given a lower expansion fee than most of the other teams got at $25 million. So maybe they feel like, oh, the MLS is playing favorites with Beckham. But according to Garber, they'll get over it. He says, "We're going to talk to our board about it. We're in a position to ask for a vote on Miami, which they can do tomorrow. But at this point, we're not sure whether we're actually going to take it at that point. We'll know a lot more on Wednesday." And, you know, I mentioned, what about the different kind of hurdle? Votes aside, Beckham also faces the challenge in the courts. Miami landowner Bruce Matheson, who just loves bothering everybody, tennis, soccer, whatever it is. He just loves getting everybody's face. He recently filed a lawsuit to block Miami-Dade County sale of the stadium land. Garber told ESPN he's not overly concerned. "I don't see the lawsuit as an impediment to the process," he said. "More importantly, as you've heard from the mayor, Thomas Regalado of Miami, there will be a process where the public can weigh in, and we support that because we want to be good community partners." So we'll see tomorrow if MLS to Miami is really at or over the finish line. But it's always good when the commissioner is rooting for you, right? Like when the MLS commissioner, and like Manny Chang, he makes the Johnny Mantel money symbol at me. But when the commissioner, of course, he's going to make money off it. But when he's rooting for you, shouldn't that smooth out the process? Like, if you've got the commissioner in your back pocket, that should make this a possibility here.
Alex, if you are an owner of a company and if your company wants to expand at a specific location in which you know if it succeeds, you'll make a lot of money, of course you're going to go up to a press conference and try to be the most positive person you can be
and say,
"Hey, you know what? I'm not worried about it. We'll be fine. We'll get it." Right?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, am I too optimistic to say I like the fact that he is firmly in our corner?
And also, Alex, don't forget this. Even though the clubs are, you know, they're owned by the team is owned by the league itself.
Right.
So his people and his representatives get majority of the money, whether they win or lose, either way.
But here's the thing to remember about Garber, the MLS commissioner. This has taken so long with Miami. We're at 3+ years we've been working on this. He could have thrown in the towel and said, "You know what, we're going to find another place to expand." Like, he could have given up on this by now, and he didn't. So it makes me feel like we have a chance.
What are you talking about? They got two new teams last year.
Well, sure,
after they got Miami.
But they still could have taken Beckham and Garber still could have taken the resources somewhere else. They still could have taken it to Tampa. Does Tampa have a team?
All right, Inter Milan. I get you.
Listen, at least Milan's got two teams. Why can't we have one? We got two teams in my father's hometown. You got AC Milan. I hate those guys. Stupid red and black jerseys. God, just get over yourselves. You know what else I like about Inter Milan? For two decades, they have had the same sponsor, Pirelli, the great makers of tires. Two decades they've had this. They're not pimping it out to whoever pays the most money.
Hey, Fly Emirates is pretty cool.
Yeah, but that's not an Italian company. What I'm saying is, I mean, Fly United Arab Emirates, like AC Milan, they sold their souls to another country. I love the fact that Inter Milan, for over two decades, because they're and even their sponsor before that, Fiorucci, great maker of prosciutto di Parma, great ham maker, Fiorucci. But after that, they get Pirelli tires, and they've stuck with them for over 20 years, an Italian company sponsoring an Italian team. It's a beautiful thing. I love what they're doing. You know what's not a beautiful thing? Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm so over this guy. I'm so over Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo on Tuesday sent a defiant message to his critics and those accusing him of tax fraud.
AKA Alex Dono.
I'm telling you, he's guilty. I'm telling you, Cristiano Ronaldo has been cheating the Spanish government for years. This is one day after defending himself in court. Prosecutors say the Real Madrid superstar, like, seriously, people have to evaluate why you're a fan of this guy. Doesn't show up to Miami, refuses to be an ambassador for the game that he loves, and he's not paying his taxes. Any citizen of Madrid, any citizen of Spain should be insulted. The people there work so hard. You work a regular job, the tax rates in Spain, astronomical, some of the highest in Europe. If I were a citizen of Madrid, I forget though, most Real Madrid fans are from other parts of the world, all the bandwagoners. But if I'm a citizen of the great Spanish city, the backbone of Spain, Madrid, and I pay my taxes, the government takes a hefty cut over there. If I pay my taxes and I see this guy is making more money than God and he's not paying the government, I would be insulted by that. I don't know how there are Cristiano Ronaldo fans with what he's doing. Prosecutors say he owes 14.7 million euros, which is like $16, $17 million for image rights between 2011 to 2016. But Ronaldo reportedly told Judge Monica Gomez Ferrer that he had been unfairly targeted by prosecutors only because of his high profile. Well, yeah, because you're high profile, you owe more money than a regular person, right? It's a no-brainer. You make that much money, you can owe 14.7 million euros. So he wrote a post on Instagram that I don't understand because I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I have a translation in front of me. He Instagrammed this weird picture of himself, like in a hallway full of lights wearing short shorts, to which he captions it, "What bothers people is my brilliance. Insects are attracted to lights that shine." Get over yourself, dude. Do you think he is Tywin Lannister, the way he's talking about himself? Get over yourself, Cristiano Ronaldo. But he's defiant about this stuff. Let's talk to Cookie Monster. You're on WQAM. What's up, Cookie?
What up, bro?
Doing well, man. How about you?
Pretty good. And let me tell you, man, I appreciate you, dude. You know how they say, you don't know what you have until it's gone?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's been horrible since you came back. First, since you left vacation, and then when you came back, everything's all mixed up. And oh man, dude, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. They gotta leave you where you're at.
I appreciate the vote of confidence, man. You know, I love being here.
Yeah, dude. I think you do it better than anybody else that I know of. But so I have a question for Manny Chang.
Manny, you listening over there? Cookie's
always
got a question
listening.
For you.
What up, Cook?
He doesn't know anything that's going on from Game of Thrones from season 4 on.
He doesn't know.
No, I do not. I'm
he doesn't know from season
episode 10, season 1, and I have shed a tear, I've gotten upset, and I've thrown a chair so far.
Damn, you.
I know. People have warned me though, and they keep telling me something about a red wedding. I don't know.
Oh God.
Oh my God.
So at least you know it's coming. You don't know what it is, but you know it's coming.
No, and I'm very scared to ask. So I just. Leave it
oh
at that.
Man. Bro, yeah, it's gonna be bad,
bro. You're gonna start binging. It gets that addicting.
He's watched 10 episodes in like a day and a half, so he's already binging.
Oh,
believe me.
Yeah, it's already started. It's an infection, bro. But you're gonna love it. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm excited for him. That's how good of a show that is, like, honestly.
And by the way, Cookie, you were tweeting me before the episode on Sunday. I was right on my prediction on bending the knee.
You
got to give me credit.
You were. That's what I was going to say, that I have to give you props, man. You said it. I totally believe. But, you know, hey, it's definitely turning into something I didn't think it was going to turn into.
The king in the north bends the knee for no one.
Oh, man. And beyond everything else. Man, you got a lot. Dude, you got a lot to come up with. But, bro, are you excited? I mean, what is it? 48 hours? And we got some football on or what?
Yeah. I'm almost excited for that as I am for the next episode of Game of Thrones. I mean, it's fake Hall of Fame game football, but it's still football.
Tell me you guys watch Rick and Morty.
I do. I haven't watched season 3 yet, but I'm caught up through the first 2 seasons.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I think it already started, right? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're like 3 episodes in, I think, to season 3.
Chang, that's another one. If you're into Family Guy and
what is
the show?
Like
American
The Simpsons,
Dad,
yeah, American
Morty
Dad. Yeah.
Yeah, Rick and Morty is better than, to me, they're better than both of those. They
nice.
Make a lot of sense, and there's always like little hidden messages in each episode.
Yeah, and I like it because I'm a sci-fi geek, and it adds those elements, all the time travel stuff and the aliens, so I'm all in for that.
Yeah, I love it. And that he's like somewhat of a drunk, it's amazing. But yeah, man, just call to say you're the best, dude. You're the best.
Appreciate
you. About Game of Thrones, bro. You're 100%. I can't believe it. So let's go Fins, baby.
Let's go Fins. Enjoy your night,
hours.
Dude.
We got some football.
That's
let's
right.
Go.
You know, somebody was asking me the other day, as you know, Game of Thrones, they're in season 7. It's going to be 8 seasons, and the whole show is done. They're building towards the crescendo. They're building towards a resolution. You got the War for the Dawn coming up. You've got, you know, whoever's going to sit on the Iron Throne, or is it going to matter who sits on the Iron Throne if the White Walkers take over everything? Somebody asked me the other day, my honest opinion, who I think is going to win the Game of Thrones. Is it wrong to say the Night King, the head of the White Walkers? Something's going to happen, man. You got dragons?
Come on.
What,
see,
I'm spoiling
now
it for
just
you?
Flirting with it. Seriously?
I think the Night King
Dude,
is going to win.
I'm still in season 1. Give me a break.
But you don't even know who the Night King is yet.
No, but now you're going to make me want to go to season 5 and 6 and 7.
All right, I'll refrain from any more spoilers. I'll give Manny that. He's so angry over there. He's throwing his hands up. I don't have sympathy for you. I'll stop because I'm a nice guy, but I have no sympathy because I've said it before and I'll say it again. You got a great TV show like Game of Thrones, and this is not like Law and Order. You can watch any episode at any time. Out of order doesn't matter. It's like all self-contained stuff. Game of Thrones is such a... It's just such a long-going, masterful tapestry of story that if you truly love that show, you cannot be behind. Like, you treat it like a sporting event, right? Like, let's say the Dolphins played last night, and I'm on the air today breaking it down. Are you mad that I'm spoiling it for you? No, because you watched it in live time or you read the box score. You know what happened. I treat Game of Thrones like a sporting event. If you don't have the decency to watch it on Sunday night, 9 p.m. on HBO when it airs, and you're behind, whether you're 6 seasons behind or 6 episodes behind, you have to understand that people should be allowed to break it down like a sporting event. It's that important. And if you missed it, it's your problem, not mine. 56022 on the Plumbers 911.com text line. 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560 is how you get in. Somebody tweets to me, Deportes Lopez. Dono, Messi got in trouble for not paying taxes in Barcelona. Are you over him too? Yeah, you know, I don't like Messi either. I really don't. They're building a theme park for that egomaniac in China. Not a fan of his. But in Messi's defense, the unpaid taxes from Lionel Messi, literally 1/3 of Cristiano Ronaldo's unpaid taxes, 4.7 million euros compared to 14.7 million euros. That's a lesser offense from Lionel Messi.
I'm so surprised, Alex, you haven't talked about Neymar, who right now has Barcelona and their fans hostage.
Right.
A possible move to PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, for $222 million.
Who wants to go to France? Well, you want a lot of money, I guess. Paris is a nice place, but I mean, the French League, who gives a crap about that? Serie A, that's where it's at.
You know what? I keep telling a lot of soccer people, if
they're coming
Serie A
back.
Somehow gets their league back together, dude, that was one of the best leagues to watch with Juventus, Inter, and AC Milan always going at
it. I remember.
And Florentina and Napoli. Are you kidding
me?
Those are the best ones.
That's like you're saying it. When I was a kid growing up, like I would have been a Serie A fan regardless because my father grew up in Milan. He's an Inter Milan diehard. So even if the league sucked my entire life, I would have been a Serie A fan. But when I was a kid, between Inter and AC Milan, and Juventus always being that pain in the ass for since the end of time. And then Lazio was good in addition to Roma. Napoli was good. Fiorentina. Sampdoria was good for many years. Like you had like 8-9 teams in Serie A that were all excellent at the same time. Those were the glory days. You're going to have at least 3 good teams though this coming year because Juventus is already a team good enough to make the Champions League final. AC Milan, I think Inter's going to be a lot better this year also. And, you know, Manchester United, they tried to poach Paris situation. We shut the door on those bastards. Stupid Red Devils. That's another team with too many bandwagon fans. What are the worst soccer teams for bandwagon fans? Number one, Real Madrid, no question. No question. So many bandwagoners. Number two, I think it's Manchester United. Then Barcelona is probably third.
Well, my friend, I have bad news for you because here we have the UEFA Super Cup featuring Manchester United versus Real Madrid.
Oh, my God. I'm gonna burn my TV. I'm going to set my TV on fire.
When I work with you, you know that I'll be wearing a Madrid jersey.
It's going to be so bad. We'll wrap up the 8 o'clock hour next here on WQAM.
Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader. 25 years and counting. Miami Sports Radio.
Yeah, a texter asked a good Game of Thrones question, and I'm hoping this goes over Manny's head because he's so far behind, but you may want to cover your ears just in case. He says he's turning me down from the other studio. He doesn't want any spoilers. But a texter asked me, Team Daenerys or Team Cersei? Who you got? Well, okay, if you're asking me which one I'd prefer to win the throne, I guess I just have to go to Daenerys because she seems like she's genuinely trying to be a good person, whereas Cersei is like a despot. You know, you don't want her ruling your country, period. You know, I don't know what that feels like. But no, you don't want Cersei to win the throne. But who makes for more entertaining television? Who's got their crap together? Cersei is kicking ass right now, right? Cersei has that evil, brilliant, scheming mind. And Jaime's also a pretty good general she's got working for her. Whereas Daenerys, she's trying to figure so much out right now. She doesn't know Westeros. She'd never been to Westeros before except the night she was born on Dragonstone. And she's getting some bad advice from Tyrion lately, which is a little bit discouraging. She doesn't really have a plan right now. Cersei is kicking ass. But I would prefer Daenerys to win than Cersei. Really, and if you watch the show, you have to agree with this. The only man, woman, whatever, the only person who really deserves that throne is Jon Snow. He deserves it more than Daenerys because she seems like she's trying to be a good person, but she also is a little power hungry, right? She wants to rule so badly. Jon Snow doesn't want to rule. That's why Jon Snow deserves the throne. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mike in Liberty City. What's up, Mike?
Man, I got hooked on Game of Thrones, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. Can't let it go. Got a quick question.
Good for you.
If we play Game of Thrones with the last 7 NBA or NFL champions, who's coming out on top? I'll listen to your analysis, but play Game of Thrones with Super Bowl winners, Game of Thrones with the last NBA championship winners, and who's taking that crown?
Oh, man.
I'll chime in and listen to you.
That is fantastic. I appreciate it, Mike. And here are the heavy hitters that come into play. This comes down to LeBron James versus Tom Brady for the Iron Throne. Who is more maniacal, right? Because, okay, on the one hand, LeBron James, I think, has at least slightly more global appeal, so more allies, more great houses to bring together to champion his cause. Because, you know, basketball is just a little bit bigger worldwide than American football. So, okay, you can immediately say LeBron James might have the edge there because he's got more influence across the planet. Like, he's got China in his corner. It's a great ally to have. It's like having House Tyrell in your corner, China. But what LeBron would have working against him is he has scared away so many worthy allies, right? You know, what does LeBron have? Kyrie Irving can't stand him, right? It's like your hand of the king turning his back on you. You know what? Tyronn Lue, who's his ally? The guy who owns his team, Dan Gilbert, they despise each other. Here's what Tommy Brady has that LeBron James doesn't have. The hand of the king for Tom Brady is Bill Belichick. That's like the Tywin Lannister of the sports world. If Tom Brady and LeBron James are clashing for that Iron Throne, I give Tom Brady the edge because Brady has the hand of the king that's worthy. Tom Brady has the schemer. Tom Brady has Bill Belichick. This is a guy who could figure out how to spy with videotapes, how to deflate footballs. That's the guy I want in my corner. Who's LeBron's hand of the king? Maverick Carter? Who's Tom Brady's hand of the king? Bill Belichick. I take that team. I think the Iron Throne goes to Brady. I do. You said there's breaking Marlins news. What's going on?
Yes, sir. So Clark Spencer just tweeted out, Edison Volquez has a torn UCL and will have Tommy John surgery per Mike Hill. Doubtful he'll pitch in 2018.
Jeez, everybody's getting hurt for the Marlins now.
Well, the only guy that had a no-hitter for the Marlins.
Yeah.
The only guy, but the guy who, was,
lately.
Who finally got
yeah.
one after a while.
Yeah, right. Sucks. Yeah, I mean, it's not like Anibal Sanchez back in the day, but no. Man, damn. So Edison Volquez, what do you say? What did you say it was torn? UCL,
and we'll have Tommy John surgery.
God, yeah, the elbows. That's tough, man. Season ender for pitchers. That's the breaking Marlins news. We'll talk Miami Heat on the other side. Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He would have a good chance to win the Iron Throne. Who would he pitch his support to? Would Ira Winderman champion the banner of LeBron James, or would he be on Team Brady? Ira of the House Winderman, first of his name, long may he reign. He comes up next here on WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.